Here's the thing I've been thinking about, and it came up already this morning in several different ways, in some of these songs, also in some comments that Jared made at the beginning. But I've been thinking about the awesomeness of creation. And probably everybody in here who has a cell phone, there's a good possibility that on every one of our phones in the photos, there's at least a couple of pictures of something in creation. Whether it's a sunrise, a sunset, a flower, a bird, the sky, the mountains, the sea, whatever it is, it's very interesting how human beings are attracted to awesomeness, to something much bigger than ourselves. And so I went back in my photos, and I brought a few along with me here just for the points, and you take it how you want. But this is what's incredible to me. Thousands of visitors, maybe hundreds of thousands, I didn't look it up, visit the Grand Canyon every year. What's so intriguing is that in those thousands, tens of thousands of visitors, you have Christians, you have Muslims, you have Buddhists, you have Hindus, you have atheists, you have agnostics, you have every sort of ways of thinking, religious ways of thinking across the world. We all gather together at places such as this. And we all take pictures. We all are amazed at what it is we see. It doesn't matter what we believe in our minds about the origin of things or what gods we like or don't like. The human beings are attracted to places like this. Very different than bears and squirrels and muskrats. And so we gather at the Grand Canyon. We are amazed at the mountain peaks in Northwest America, the snow-capped mountains. We are in awe of things that are so much bigger than ourselves. We are in awe of sunsets, even though we've seen so many. This sunset across Crater Lake in southern Oregon, and we are amazed at the color, and we sit there and we can hardly take it in, and we all make comments such as, pictures don't do justice to it, but we still take pictures. There's something within us that wants to can it, and yet probably we never really look back at the pictures again, right? But it makes us feel good to be able to take a piece of it home with us. Past weekend, we as a family had the opportunity of being on the West Coast and taking that in. Again, we did that along with many others. We were Christians. We believed in the God behind it all. I don't know what the others believed in, but we were all attracted to the same things. Or you gather with thousands of people on top of Table Rock in Cape Town. And you just take it in and you're amazed. Or yesterday in my backyard. Very simple things, but they take us. They amaze us. What is it that brings us together? So, this was earlier this week. I don't know why a lot of people that fly window seats just close the window. You ever wonder about that? They have no idea what's going on outside. So I had the incredible opportunity of being in the middle seat, and the guy beside me fell asleep before we ever took off, and he pretty much woke up for the main part when it was time to get off the plane. Well, he left his window shade open, which I was thankful for, but I reached over right in front of him with my phone to at least grab a picture. He never knew it. But this was a sunrise coming into Philadelphia. And I'm like, those pilots have a front row seat to some of the most awesome pictures I mean, it's just incredible. But the glory, there's something that attracts us deep inside. It was very interesting to me. What the Artemis crew, the other month, that went up to circle back behind the moon, what it is they had to say about what they saw. The crew of four or five, I believe it was, that went a couple hundred thousand miles out, and they simply described what they saw. I don't think they hardly knew how to put it into words, but this was some of the terms they used. They said things, they saw things they had never even imagined. They had never even imagined it. In fact, before they left, some scientists put some simulations together for them to look at, to give them some ideas about what they were going to see. But they described it as what they actually saw was otherworldly. The commander, Wiseman, mentioned that the visual overwhelmed the human mind. The crew had studied excellent simulations from the science team, but AI can't even do it justice. But the actual views left them speechless. They hardly knew how to put it into words. What is it about creation and the glory of it that pulls at the human heart? Well, the scriptures gives us some indication. Psalm 19, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is not heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth. It seems to me, brothers and sisters, that the reason these things grab at the human heart, whether we're Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, atheist, whatever it is because creation is talking. And no matter what our minds think or what we have framed up to believe, still we have been created eternal beings. And there's something God, Almighty Creator, is speaking into the human heart through his creation. And there's not a man or woman on the earth that can get away from it. So, Romans 1. Ernest, if you could put that up, unless I can click into it, but I doubt it. Go ahead and put that up. I just wanted to display these verses. Romans chapter 1. Verses 20 to 23. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and they've seen the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. And it goes on to say how that people went into very perverted things. They go into perversion, deep perversion. Instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols that made to look like mere people, birds, animals, and reptiles, and did unspeakable things with each other. Here's the thing. Creation is speaking. God is speaking through creation. Have you ever imagined what a world would be like without a blue sky? What would a world be like without a blue sky and puffy white clouds floating along? What would a world be like without the whisper of the wind in the tall grasses or through the fir trees? What would a world be like without seeing an eagle floating across mountain valleys? What would a world be like without the sound of the river, of the stream rippling through ravines and waterfalls coming down? What would a world be like without the grandeur of color, of big color and then small color, like flowers, wildflowers? And your minds can just imagine. Have you ever wondered what a world would be like without any of that, without any smiles, without any sound of rain, sound of wind? What would a world be like without birds singing in the morning as the sky in the east begins to brighten? What would a world be like without that? Well, there is a world like that, and it's called hell. There is a world like that, and it's called hell. You see, a world without any of that is a world without God. Where God is, there is creativity. Where God is, there is color. Where God is, there is music. Where God is, there is warmth. Where God is, there is a freshness of life. But a place without God is a place without any of that, and it's called hell. A place without color. The only thing hell has is what Satan brings to the table, and that's pain and brokenness. So, I'm thinking about Jesus. And we sang about him this morning. But he said, well, as we talked about, creation is telling us about God, about his greatness, about his divine nature. And we have the incredible opportunity today to receive him, to come to him, to surrender to him, to see him, to talk with him, to have a relationship, as Mikey was saying earlier. We have this incredible, incredible, incredible opportunity. I want to show you another picture. If we could go back to that part. So last month, I was sitting in my office at NHT, and I have a whiteboard behind my desk that people just scribble on and draw different things on, and some things are funny, some things don't make much sense, some things are to-do lists and all that. Anything gets scribbled on there. Well, last month, I was sitting at my desk, and I turned around, and my coworker had been back there doodling around like he likes to do when he gets bored, and this picture was there. Now, picture may or may not mean much to you, but it means a lot to me. So, the next morning, one of my bosses reached out to me and said, thanks, Tim, for the picture. I guess you're the one who drew it. No, I said, it's not the pastor in the room that drew that one. I asked the young man if I can use his picture. And I asked him, I said, a lot of times, often when we see a picture, knowing something about the artist gives character or understanding to the picture that the artist drew. I said, so, if I show your picture, I need to somehow introduce the artist. How do I introduce the artist? And he said, here is what you can say. He said, that picture was drawn in the spirit of a man that's calloused to religion. But still longs for a relationship with Jesus. And it's a reminder to me that there's truck parking at the foot of the cross. Now that might not mean much to you. But it means a lot to me because I know this man. And I'm not going to say anything more about him. He told me what I shall say, and that's where I'm sticking with. But I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that yes, there is truck parking at the foot of the cross, and there is parking for however you come. In whatever way you want to come, you can come just as you are, and there's parking for it all at the foot of the cross. The key is this, folks. Whatever you come in, however you come, you have to step out. Because you're not just adding Jesus to this mix. It's you and him. You have to step out. And the offer still stands. If you're here today and you haven't been sure how to come, you come just as you are. There's parking for it all at the foot of the cross. All you have to do is step out. He's come to you, but there is one step you must make. You have to step out of however that is and surrender and do business with Jesus Christ. The offer still stands. He has offered to us, Jesus, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He has said, whoever comes and asks me for a drink, I will give him living water and he'll never thirst again. Jesus said, though your sins be as scarlet, come to me and I will make you white as snow. I will forgive you. I will wash you clean. I will give you a new heart. That's the offer that still stands today. And ladies and gentlemen, we don't know how long that offer is going to stand. The clock is ticking. Jesus is soon coming back. In fact, I believe he can hardly wait to come back. When I see clouds like I saw yesterday, I think about, could that be the one that he's coming back on? I think it's going to be a pretty amazing cloud. The offer today still stands, the offer of salvation.